Chapter 7, are you ready for some fun stuff? Okay, too bad. I didn't plan to do that, I'm sorry. Matthew 7, verse 1 through 6, it's one of those passages that we actually have misused and abused over the years, and we're going to define why and how. But let's read it together. It's Matthew 7, verse 1 through 6. We're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're getting close to wrapping up this series, which started as just the Beatitudes, but God wouldn't let me move on. I have made some jumps in the lessons as we've gone, and I skipped ahead on places where God led me, and this is where we landed today. It says, verse 1, do not judge. Big words right there. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, we think we understand this just on that one passage, but we don't. We can't gain all knowledge from that one text, from that one little section, just those couple phrases. We actually have to do a little more digging, a little more reading. Let's read verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Ooh, that's just real. Amen? That's deep, it's real, it's painful, it's a slap in the face of the self-righteous attitudes we have to struggle against. Amen? It says, why are you judging your brother? Look what's going on in your own life. Whoa, who do you think you are, right? That's kind of what we're saying here. Verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? That's pretty serious stuff. Verse 5, you hypocrite. Everybody remember what that means? Actor. You actor. You know, it in common language of today, we would be calling you a movie star. You movie star, you actor, you hypocrite, you person that only mimics what everybody thinks is real, but it's really not real. You are double speaking here. You hypocrite, first, everybody say first. Okay, this is where we mistake the whole passage. First, take the plank out of your own eye. And then, everybody say then. You got first, and you have then. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Everybody say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Whoa. Let's read on. Do not... Well, do I want to read on? Yeah, I do. This was just for fun. I told you it was fun here. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. That's just terrible, right? What does all that have to do with anything? Well, we're talking about an issue of hypocrisy, an issue of things that have been misconstrued and flipped upside down. And I want to bring you to a place of understanding what was Jesus actually saying. You've heard it before. You've probably even said it. You have no right to judge me. Right? We've heard it all. Maybe we've said it, like I said. After reading this text, we are inclined to believe that that's actually true. Yet, as we look at things in a greater detail, it may surprise you what Jesus concluded about judging your brother. It may surprise you what he actually concluded, and I kind of gave the tip to that. This morning we're going to tackle one of the most misused, misunderstood scriptures and do our best to apply solid biblical teachings, because that's what we want to do, amen? I want to know what's the Word of God say, how am I supposed to understand this, and how do I live it? We're going to answer the age-old question about judging others and how we're supposed to live our lives in this area that sometimes is misunderstood, if not often. Here's the challenge. I want you to hear this. And if you don't remember anything from this morning at all, here's what I want you to hear. You must be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Your brother needs your help. But come on, take the plank out. Get the plank out of your own eye. And then when you can see clearly, you can help your brother that's got the little, tiny little speck. That's what I want you to hear this morning. And we're going to break down scripture and understand why. Number one, judge yourself. Judge yourself. That's the scriptures. You hypocrite, he says, take the plank out of your own eye. You must look to your own life. Where do you stand in God's grace? Where do you stand in his righteousness? Where do you stand in all of these things? Let me tell you something about how it is. And we all know this is true. I've lived it. I've made the mistakes. I've probably made the bad choices that go along with the mistakes. But here's the reality. I can tell my kids what to do, and they may or may not listen. But if I show them what to do, they'll follow. If I show them, I am not able to say, here's the rule, son. Here's the rule, daughter. Daddy doesn't live by the rules, but you have to. Doesn't work, does it? Why can you do this, Dad, but I can't? How many have done this before? And this is one of my little pet peeves. Phone rings. Back in the day when we used to have phones that were landlines in the house, right? Remember those days? Wonderful days. You didn't know who was there, right? It's like, oh no, it's like, here it goes. Hello? Now it's like, ooh, whoops, not answering that one. We are so spoiled with all that stuff now, we don't even know what it used to be like. But here's the reality. How many times have you said this to your son or your daughter, maybe your grandpa taking care of a grandchild, and they answer the phone, they say, Grandpa, it's so-and-so, tell them I'm not here. What did you just do? You just lied. And not only did you lie, you brought your granddaughter or your grandson or your son or your daughter into it. Now you've taught them how to lie. And you think it's funny that it's okay for you to lie, but it's not okay for your son or your daughter to lie? I'm sorry, you're the one that taught them. Well, that's just a little thing, no big deal. Yeah, it is. It is a big deal. Take the speck out of your own eye? Yeah, take the plank out. You think you can judge this? First, live it. First, begin living it. And then you can go to your brother and you can help them with the challenges that they're facing. Do what I say, don't do what I do. It doesn't work. I'm sorry. It doesn't work in the family. It doesn't work in the church. Excuse me as I have a tickle in my throat. Oh, I got coffee. This might help. Thank you for the thought, Scott. I appreciate it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, shall we? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Isn't this fun, talking about these wonderful issues of real life stuff? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 is where we're going to start. It says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So if we were to say this passage, read this, understand it, hold on to it, then we might want to conclude the next verse should say, therefore, if you see your brother who's unworthy, call him on it. Challenge them, right? But that's not what it says. There may be a time and a place for that, but here's what I want you to hear right now. Verse 28, a man ought to examine himself. Judge yourself. You know your heart. You know your struggle. You know what you're going through, what your issues are, what you need to sacrifice unto the Lord. You know where the repentance must take place. It says, examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. It continues, that is why many among you were weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Literally, that means you have many among you that have died. It's not falling asleep like we think of. We're talking about death here. We're talking about people that were not following the Lord with all their heart in such a way that he could bless them. But he actually is saying here that the sickness and the struggles that you're facing is because of your sin. You should examine yourself before taking part in this supper. Verse 31, but if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Whoo, 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 wow. That's good stuff, amen? We got one amen, good. Come on, this is good. You are responsible for where you stand. Don't hold your brother and your sister responsible to make sure they tell you. You are responsible for yourself first. And you need to be judging yourself. You need to be holding yourself accountable. Yes, there is a time, and we'll get to it, where your brother and your sister in Christ can help you along the way, and they have the right to say, hey, wait, what's going on here? This isn't right. But first, take the plank out of your own eye. First, examine your own heart. First, you must judge yourself, or you will be judged by the Lord himself. When we are judged by the Lord, it says in verse 32, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Say, thank you, Lord, for the spanking. I know spanking's not politically correct anymore, but I'm sorry. When it's done appropriately and godly, it is a good tool. It's good. But don't abuse it. Don't misuse it, because then it's abuse, and we don't want that. And sometimes God spanks me. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. I needed the correction. I needed the discipline. And I know it's because you love me, Lord. I won't let it happen again. If we would judge ourselves, we may not need to be disciplined. Amen? It's a good word. Jesus is making it very clear to the hypocrites who are so good at judging everyone else, and yet they totally ignored their own problems. And he said, this is wrong. This should not be. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Judge yourself. That's where we're at. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 through 10. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Some of you are reading this verse for the very first time. You've never seen it before. You're like, whoa, does it really say that? Yes. Test yourself. If you fail the test, it means he's not within you. You're just following a good religion, and that's about it. Verse 6. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. In other words, we're born of the Spirit. Verse 7, now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. That word means completion. Verse 10, this is why I write these things when I am absent, but when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Examine yourself. Test yourself. Are you truly a follower of Jesus Christ? If you are, you will be able to pass the test. If you are not, then the Holy Spirit is not in you, and you do not know him. And it will become evident in your life. The challenge that Paul is giving here is, I am going to come. I would rather come to lift you up than to tear you down. But I have authority from God. I will do what I must. Good stuff. Amen? So let's take number one to heart. Let's accept it as a responsibility that we have unto ourselves and unto the Lord. I need to examine my heart. I need to examine and judge myself as a highest priority. Number two, you are not the judge of the world. Everybody take a big breath. Thank you, Jesus. Politics has gotten way out of hand. Let's just be honest. We don't respect each other anymore in politics. We hate. We don't love. Let that never be your situation. I don't care how adamantly someone opposes your views, and spitefully and hatefully, you respond with love. You are not the judge of them. God is the judge. We're really good at judging those that don't believe the way we do. We're really good at that in the church. We're really good at that in certain political fields. Everyone has their own stance and their own place. And we think we've got all truth. Even I struggle with that. I know what's true. This is so upsetting, Lord. Why don't they see it? And that is a real frustration that we all have to go through and deal with. Amen? But let me tell you something. When you cross the line and start judging someone because they disagree with you, you have just stepped out of bounds. You are not the judge of this world. You are not the judge of all people's sins. What's your responsibility for those who are lost, for those who are in this world? Your responsibility, believe it or not, is to love them. Come on. You do not throw hate at them. You do not throw condemnation at them and say, this is wrong, this is terrible, you're a sinner, you're rotten, and you're going to die and go to hell. Want to know Jesus now? No. I'm sorry, that's not the Jesus that I read about. The Jesus I read about sat down with prostitutes and tax collectors, got called out on it by the religious Pharisee people that were so good, and they said, do you realize, I can't believe you let her touch your feet. He was radical because he loved. And that's what you're called to do to this world. You love the world. You not the world's culture, not the world's sin, but the people who are in it. Amen? You need to reach out and love them. Look at Romans 14 with me. Romans 14. I realize this is radical stuff, but we're a radical church, so that's okay. Romans 14, verse 1 through 8. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. They call that the Daniel diet? All the Daniel diet people say amen. Don't you don't have to do that. Don't judge me because I like to eat meat, right? I won't judge you because you only eat vegetables. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, and another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own masters he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than the other, like maybe Sunday. Or maybe Saturday. Come on. Another man considers each day alike. Hey, they're all great. Let's worship God every day. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether we live or die to the Lord. We get so tied up into these discussions of things that are not that important, and we get all bent out of shape because of religious differences, and then you take that into a complexity of the world, and they all need Jesus, and we want to condemn them instead of love them. We are not the judge. And whatever God has led you to believe in your faith, then you need to honor and bless him with it. But don't start condemning others that don't see it the same way you do. We're not good at that sometimes. The history of the assemblies. I'm so blessed and thankful to be an Assembly of God pastor. But there's things in our past that I'm ashamed of. Because we haven't handled it well. That's not Scripture, that's man. Do you know there's other people right now in this city worshiping the same God? Born again believers in another building? Yeah. Shh. Why can't we do more together? Why can't we unite under the things that we agree? Why cannot we have a united effort and an army that goes forth and reaches the lost? Instead of worrying about our differences, let's talk about what we have in common. We love Jesus. Jesus is in our heart. Let's go. Yeah, but you might speak in tongues while I'm there. Well, so what? Get over it. Let's do it. But you don't. But I'm saved, and once saved, always saved. So what? Let's go. Will we turn in our tax papers so we know how much we're supposed to tithe? I don't care. Let's go. Yeah, some churches do that. Can you believe that? Wow, that's funny. You got to find the joy and the fun in all this stuff. We're not the same. So what? We love Jesus. Let's honor Him. Whether you eat meat or not, let's honor Him. Amen? Because it's all for His glory. We get all bent out of shape when we think we're supposed to be judging things. No, let's love and let's move. Verse 12, let's jump down. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Now, here's where you got to be mature. Don't be a baby Christian here. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Be the bigger man. Amen? We have a relative, goes to a wonderful Baptist church. I believe she's still there. In her prayer time, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. Calls Tina. You know what this is all about. What am I supposed to do now? I'm in a Baptist church. Well, we gave her encouragement. Said, that's awesome what God is doing. Talk to your pastor. Really? If he's the pastor that you describe, he'll understand. And you know what? She goes to him. He goes, that is so wonderful. He was so thankful. He was so blessed. That's just great what God's doing in your life. Just please don't do it in the middle of their service. The spirit is subject to the prophet. So she prays in tongues in her own private time, but she doesn't make a big scene in the church. Well, that's just wrong. Yeah, no, it's fine. God is good. Amen? She respects the people around her not to cause them to stumble. Not to condemn them or judge them, but simply love God and let's move forward. I don't know where you stand on the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, but you know what? Agree or disagree, I love you. Let's move together forward. It's okay. We're going to be all right. God is the judge. He will help us, and I'm going to respect you, and you're going to respect me, and we're going to work together, and we can go through all these verses that talk about eating meat or not eating meat, doing things that I have the right to do this. I can have a glass of wine with my drink. I can have a beer and not get drunk. That's all fine and dandy, but if I cause my brother to stumble, am I honoring and respecting them? No, therefore I won't have any part of it. We can go down these discussions, come to a logical conclusion, but ultimately I am not going to judge you if you are different in your view than I am. I'm going to love you. And that's real. God will help us through the difficulties of what we should or should not be a part of. And yes, I will do my best to teach and guide through things that I think are logical and scriptural, but ultimately, let's not become judges ourselves, but let's let God be the judge. In James chapter 4, verse 12, it says, who are you to judge your neighbor? In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, it says, Jesus Christ is the judge of the world, not you. Isn't that great? So the priority is, number one, judge yourself. Priority number two, you're not the judge of the world. But then we get to number three. Hold one another accountable. Jesus gave this great understanding, do not judge lest you be judged. First take the plank out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to help your brother who has the speck in his eye. He didn't ultimately define and come down to the conclusion, never judge your brother. He said, deal with yourself first. Make sure you got stuff cleaned up in your own life. And then, as the grace of God works through your life, you're going to be able to help somebody else with their concerns. Matthew 7, verse 5 declares that. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. What right do you have to judge me? That's a question that often is thrown out there. And from the world's standpoint, when they say it, you say, I'm sorry, you're right, I don't have that right. I'm not the judge of the world. I'm here to love you. I'm here to share with you the truth. You reject it or you receive it. That's my responsibility. I'm going to love you. But now we're talking about something different. Now we get into the church itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother. You see how he defined the difference here? You want to reach the world. You want to reach out to those who are lost. But I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about something that's going on in the house of God, and it's someone who says, I'm a brother. He calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy and an idolater or slanderer or drunkard or swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Who are you to judge me? Well, the answer is, I'm your brother. I'm your sister. You claim to be my brother. You claim to be my sister. And yet, here's sin in the house. This is an issue. Come on. Are we having fun yet? Come on, everybody smile. It's okay. This is real stuff here.
Verse 12 goes on, but what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Great question, right? Are you not to judge those inside? Following up where we just left, you are not the judge of the world. You do not judge the ones outside the church. However, there is an accountability issue within. God will judge the outside, it says in verse 13. Expel the wicked man from you. Ooh, wow. Wow. Wowzers. Turn to Titus chapter 3. It's after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. This is real stuff. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Let's be real. If you are part of this family, and I hope and pray you are, and you walk down a path that leads to damaging of your own life or someone else within, it's my responsibility, if I'm aware of it, to talk to you. Lovingly and in a Christ-like manner, but to talk to you and say, this is a problem. Well, let's back it up a little bit. Let's say I don't know anything about it. But someone who is within this body of believers, who's very close and dear to you, does know about it. Matthew chapter 18 gives us the way that we should approach these things. That brother or sister of yours in Christ has a responsibility to talk to you. Don't turn them away. Don't pull the old, you do not judge me answer, because they do. Not judging from the perspective of condemnation. No one has the right to condemn anyone to hell. Amen? That is God's job only. He is the one that has all authority to judge, as we understand that kind of judgment. However, I do, as your friend, as your pastor, and your friend has, as your brother or your sister, has the right to approach you and say, this is a problem. That's not judgment, that's love. God has given us very specific guidelines to help one another within the church. And you, as a friend, need to know if your friend is struggling with sin and you're aware of it, your responsibility is to go to them. And don't be afraid of being called a judge of their life. Then you go back a second time and Matthew 18 says, with two or three. And after that, they still don't listen. Then ultimately, it goes before a larger group of people. And then it's finally done where, you know what, shake the dust off your sandals, walk away, it's a lost cause. Nobody ever wants to see that happen. Nobody ever wants to see somebody who is self-condemned to be expelled from the house of God, to be expelled from the family. But let me tell you something. If your sin is affecting the health of this body, it will come to that. For the sanctity of God and this family of God, for the ability for us to be a healthy church that can move forward together without that divisive a spirit that can only kill and destroy, we must expel the sin from the house. But that is the last straw of a long process of prayer and love. I've already defined Matthew 18. It's verse 15 through 20 if you'd like to read it. This is not judgment. It's loving correction. It's loving accountability. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 8 actually goes into discussions about not having lawsuits within the house. It's an interesting discussion. And I'm going to go ahead and read it real fast, and then we'll wrap this up. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? So here it is. You got people within the church that have a dispute among themselves, so the other says, I'm going to sue you and take you to court. Da-dum-dum. Da-dum-dum-dum. Anybody know that rhythm? Da-dum-dum. It's the people's court, right? Remember that? I remember when it first came out, that guy, what's his name? I don't know. Well, Judge Judy, she's tough. Oof. You don't want her. Maybe you do. I don't know. I've seen her a few times. Don't go to the courthouse. It says, don't you have saints within you? Verse 2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, and I realize that sounds contradictory, but you got to understand perspective here. I'll get back to it. If you are to judge the world, are you not content to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? I want to refer to that judgment he's referring to. He's talking about in the end days, during the millennial reign of Christ. So don't misunderstand it. I have not met an angel that I've judged yet. You know, Gabriel and me, we're like this. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I've met him yet. I'm pretty sure I haven't, but you never know. In the future, there is judgment that we will have because we are saints under the Lord Jesus Christ during his millennial reign that's on the earth. But that's secondary to the point he's trying to make. Therefore, verse 4, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? In other words, we should judge one another within. There is a judgment and an accountability that comes within the body of Christ. Rather than going to the courts, you deal with it within the family. It's God giving us the responsibility to hold each other accountable. That's what I want to get across to you.
If we were to go to Matthew 7, verse 15 through 23, you'll know that it says there, by their fruit you will know them. Speaking of false prophets within the family of God, false prophets within the church, if you will, and God will say, even though they cast out demons, they preached in his name, they did all kinds of miraculous things, God will say to them, I never knew you, because they never had a relationship with Christ. You can be a very good religious person, and you can maybe fake it that I'll never know, but God will always know. He will always know.
And so I bring this all back to where we started in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6.
Do not judge, lest you be judged. With the same way that you judge others, so shall you be judged. God is very specific about it. He says, first take the plank out of your own eye so that you can see clearly, and then you can deal with the speck in your brother's eye. There is an accountability that is supposed to happen within the body of Christ.
Judge yourself first. Amen. You are not the judge of the world. What's our responsibility to the world?
Love the world. Love them. Love those who are lost. Love out and reach out to them. Embrace them with God's love so that they can come to faith. Amen.
But within the body of Christ, having been received into this through the blood of Christ, and you're born again believer, you are accountable to one another. And you need to hold each other accountable. So, the text was, to judge or not to judge? That is the question. If you're talking about yourself, yes. Judge yourself. Consider your ways.
If you're talking about the world, no, do not judge the world. God's got that one under control. You love them.
Love them, reach out to them. You can disagree. Definitely, please do. Go to the voting booth and vote. Vote for those that you think will be honoring God's word. That's a great thing. But do not be the judge of the world. Hallelujah. God's got that one under control. However, when you get to that third point, let's recognize we are accountable one to another. You have a responsibility to your brother to call him out. You have a responsibility to your sister to let her call you out. Don't throw the old don't judge me thing, because that's not right. Jesus said you should deal with it.
We got many scriptures that back it up. Who are you to judge me? If you mean to hold me accountable, then I am your brother who loves you enough to give godly correction. Hallelujah.
Isn't that good stuff? If you mean by that word judgment, condemnation, then far be it from me. That is not my responsibility. Jesus Christ will be the judge over all of that. However, if I can allow for you to turn away from a life of sin to find his forgiveness, I've saved you from a lot of condemnation and possible destruction in hell. And I don't take that responsibility lightly, and none of us should. Amen? Okay, now that we're all as quiet as mice, and totally subdued in our spirit, let's stand and bless the Lord as we dismiss.